evening, ladies and gentlemen. Direct from The Hague Beach, transmitting for the CBS Cybernetic Broadcasting System, it's Esfro Unicorn Radio, with your hosts, Makos.
Presentarse al Cirio Smacos.
Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Esfro Unicorn Radio Show here on the CBS. I'm your host, Smacos, and well, basically anything will go on this show. We will bring you a varied program of music and interesting items about various subjects such as science, cryptozoology, some interviews with interesting people, and lots of other stuff. So sit back, or keep on doing what you're doing, and I hope you enjoy the show. Angelo Badalamenti from the Mulholland Drive soundtrack. Very nice, epic, tragic, stringy track.
bouche me presse, en se tordant ainsi qu'à son pont sur la brèche, et pétrissant sa selle sur le fer de son buste, il sait couler ses mots totalement jamais. Moi j'ai la lèvre humide, je sais la science, je perds au fond d'un mythe d'antique conscience. Je sèche tous les pleurs sur mes seins triomphants, je fais rire les vieux du rire des enfants. Je remplace pour qui me voit nu et sans voilet, la lune, le soleil, les ciels et les étoiles. Je suis mon cher savant, si docte vous l'écoutez, lorsque j'ai tout fait un homme à mes grandes beautés, ou lorsque j'abandonne en mon fibre, mon fils. Timide et libertine, et fragile et robuste, que sur ces matelas qui se parlent des noix, des anges impuissants et d'amour et pour moi. Quand des lues de mes yeux sucent sous la moelle, et que l'envie s'arrange, je me tournais vers elle, pour lui rendre un baiser d'amour. Les yeux de mon froid dégoûtant, et quand je vais mourir à la clarté vivante, à mes côtés, au lieu du mannequin puissant qui semblait avoir fait une vision de sang, tremblement, profitément des théories de squelette qui de même inventaient le cri d'une girouette, d'une enseigne, et de
you're listening to Logic System with their track called Unit. It's produced by Hideki Matsutake and Ryo Kawakami, which was the co-producer, and apparently did most of the composing of the tracks. It is from Japan, from the year 1981, and Hideki Matsutake used to be the synthesizer and sequencer programmer for the likes of Isao Tomita, Yellow Magic Orchestra, and probably a lot of other stuff. Before this you heard AUX 88 with their slow jam Is It Man or Machine, from the album with the same name, already from the year 1996. That's a long time ago. Well, anyway, let's trip out on some ambient space stuff for a while. Thank you.
one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.
Midnight on the 12th of August, a huge mass of luminous gas erupted from Mars and sped towards Earth. Across 200 million miles of void, invisibly hurtling towards us, came the first of the missiles that were to bring so much calamity to Earth. As I watched, there was another jet of gas. It was another missile, starting on its way. That's how it was for the next 10 nights. A flare spurting out from Mars, bright green, drawing a green mist behind it. A beautiful, but somehow disturbing sight. Ogilvy, the astronomer, assured me we were in no danger. He was convinced there could be no living thing on that remote, forbidding planet.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still they come.
Then came the night the first missile approached Earth. It was thought to be an ordinary falling star, but next day there was a huge crater in the middle of the common, and Ogilvy came to examine what lay there. A cylinder, 30 yards across, glowing hot, and with faint sounds of movement coming from within. Suddenly the top began moving, rotating, unscrewing, and Ogilvy feared there was a man inside trying to escape. He rushed to the cylinder, but the intense heat stopped him before he could burn himself on the metal.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. Chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still they come. Yes, the chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, he said. Chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one, but still they come.
It seems totally incredible to me now that everyone spent that evening as though it were just like any other. From the railway station came the sound of shunting trains, ringing and rumbling, softened almost into melody by the distance. It all seemed so safe and tranquil.
Some nice English accents there. It's totally incredible. War of the Worlds, The Eve of War by Jeff Wayne. Before that you heard Smuckers, Snoogaloo Valley from the Pacific Northwest Sasquatch Research album, which will be released later this year. Yeah, the next track will be from Kim Rapati from Finland, aka Mono Junk, aka one part of New York City Survivors. And in 2006 he made one of the best tracks of that year, at least that's what I think, but it wasn't picked up at all for some strange reason. It's still there waiting to crash into the people's mind or something, but anyway, here it is. It's Kim Rapati, Time After Time.
Thank you. enough to tell you. You ride the like a sorrow. I don't know how, but it seems sad to see. Try enough to tell you, you're gonna feel like tomorrow. I wanna be a kind of light to see. Try enough to tell you, you ride the like a sorrow. I don't know how, but it seems sad to see. Try enough to tell you, you're gonna feel like tomorrow. I wanna be a kind of light to see.
Mindset. Also, the way that the track is built up, like this sparse release of sounds, and it's a very modest track, but it's rocking so hard. I mean, this shit should be in the CBS Top 100 at number 2 or something, but it wasn't even in there. So let's hope it will be in there in the 2007 Top 100, or you know. we remain in the Scandinavian neighborhood, or actually we remain in Scandinavia, because the next track is from Stockholm, Sweden, from our very own CBS member BMX, and this track is called Scarfessia, and it's a cover of Tony Steam. We'll be right back.
from the drug industry.
Well, the irony, of course, is that this money, which is in the billions, is coming from your country. You see, you are the major purchaser of our national product, which is, of course, cocaine.
On one hand, you're saying the United States government is spending millions of dollars on limiting the flow of drugs onto our streets. At the same time, we are doing business with the very same government that is flooding our streets with cocaine.
Let me show you a few of the other characters that are involved in this tragic comedy.
Cibernético, Sistema de Globo, directo en La Haya, con presentas anfitrión Smakos.
In the open waters of the Atlantic Ocean, there abides a phenomenon difficult to explain. A danger zone that seems to swallow ships and planes.
Thank you.
You heard Sense of Doubt from David Bowie from the Christiana F. soundtrack. A very depressing yet good German movie from 1981. Some interesting gear trivia about this track is that it uses a Chamberlain keyboard, and those are the haunting strings you hear, those trumpety strings. And the Chamberlain was the predecessor of the famous Mellotron keyboard, which was like a kind of proto-sampler from the 50s or 60s, which used little tapes to play sounds like strings or choirs. Actually, the later Chamberlain Model M1 is reputed to have superior sound and especially reliability to the Mellotrons. And in general, the Chamberlain tapes use much less compression on their recordings, so it has a different sound which breathes more and possesses more dynamics than the Mellotron. And this track, you can especially hear it, because you could never get those strings with a Mellotron. Live Records. It should have been out in February already, but it got delayed a bit, so I hope it will be released soon. Maybe one of these months. The synthesizer you hear, there's a Roland GX3P. The internal sequencer was used to get it arpeggiator, whatever, sequence. Another David Bowie song. This time the track is called Some Are, from the Low album from 1977. Well, it was made for the Low album and actually not released on there in 1977, which is strange because it's a very nice song and maybe it's even better than the other tracks on the Low album. And they're also good, but yeah, this one has a little bit extra edge or something. Fortunately, it was they put it on the re-release of on a CD in 1992 or something, with some other tracks that weren't released.
Computer, actuation positions for Stratagema. Ready? Begin.
Because he's already dead for a few years. Okay, let's start.
On September 8, 1966, the Starship Enterprise launched its first adventure onto the screens of American television. Boldly, we were going where no man had gone before. Unfortunately, the network selected as the opening show not one of several excellent episodes we'd completed, but rather our sixth one and our least favorite. They seemed to feel it was proper science fiction with a proper monster threatening folks. Well, the critics didn't like us, and rightfully so. But then as our other episodes appeared and the true Star Trek format became apparent, dislike grew into acceptance, and then into affection among viewers and television critics across the surface of this planet.
Hello, I'm Leonard Nimoy. During the next hour, I'll guide you on a very personalized tour of Star Trek. I'll tell you how it all began and where it might be going. The first time I heard about Star Trek was in 1964. Gene Roddenberry was producing a television series called The Lieutenant. It starred Gary Lockwood as a Marine Corps officer, and I was hired to do a guest starring role. I was playing a flamboyant Hollywood actor who wanted to do a movie about the Marine Corps. When the job was finished, Gene called my agent called me, and they asked for a meeting. I went in to see Gene at what was then Desilu Studios, and he told me that he was preparing a pilot for a science fiction series to be called Star Trek. And he had in mind for me to play an alien character. As the talk continued, Gene showed me around the studio. He showed me the sets that were being developed and the wardrobe that was being designed, the prop department and so forth. And I began to realize that he was selling me on the idea of being in this series.
Gene told me that he was determined to have at least one extraterrestrial character prominent on his starship. He'd like to have more, but making human actors into other life forms was too expensive for television in those days. Pointed ears, skin color, plus some changes in eyebrows and hairstyle was about all he felt he could afford. But he was certain that his Mr. Spock idea, properly handled and properly acted, could establish that we were in the 23rd century and that interplanetary travel was an established fact.
This is the land of my family. It has been held by us for more than 2,000 Earth years. This is our place of Kunut Khalifi.
And with this, our ship would not be the United States ship Enterprise, it would be the United Spaceship Enterprise, put out there in space by a federation of planets, and the crew would be interplanetary in nature. And in Spock, we'd have a character who reminded us of that constantly.
The first pilot of Star Trek was filmed at Desilu Studios in Hollywood in 1965. It was the most expensive television pilot ever produced up to that time. It starred Jeffrey Hunter as Captain Christopher Pike.
Steady as we go.
It's a radio wave, sir. We're passing through an old-style distress signal.
They were keyed to cause interference and attract attention this way.
A ship in trouble making a forced landing, sir. That's it. No other message.
I have a fix. It comes from the Talos Star Group.
We've no ships or Earth colonies that far out.
Their call letters check with a survey expedition. SS Columbia. Disappeared in that region approximately 18 years ago.
It would take that long for a radio beam to travel from there to here.
Records show the Talos Group has never been explored. Solar system similar to Earth, 11 planets. Number 4 seems to be Class M. Oxygen atmosphere.
Then they could still be alive, even after 18 years.
If they survive the crash, we aren't going to go, to be certain.
Not without any indication of survivors, no. Continue on to the Vega colony and take care of our own sick and injured first. We have the helm.
Thank you.
technology with this very nice track, plus of the very first episode of Astro Unicorn Radio here on the Cybernetic Broadcasting System, CBS. Thanks for listening. Tune in anytime again. Goodbye.